Let's take the book of Acts, chapter 20. Anybody needs a copy, we have a copy. Anybody that's ever got one that needs one. All right, we're chapter 20. Last time we stopped at verse 12. So let's begin Acts 20. Those that are listening by other means, want to give us a call at 856-261-9018, or simply call us an email at questions@bfdbc.org. 856-261-9018. Okay, Acts chapter 20. We stopped at verse 12. Let's read verse 12, 13, and 14 this evening, starting with verse 12 together. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted. And we went before to ship, and sailed at Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so he had appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in, and came to Mytilene. All right, 12, 13, and 14 of the book of Acts, chapter 20. Now, where were they at this time? Where was Paul? What city was he in?
Macedonia.
Macedonia, that's right. He was in Macedonia. And what particular city in verse number 5?
Troas.
Troas, all right. And Troas is a city that's right. Here it is, right here. See, it's right at the, here's Asia Minor, which is present-day Turkey. There's Troas. That's where he is. And in verse number 12, they brought the young man alive. What young man was that? What happened to that young man? Yes, Pastor Dan.
This young man, they fell asleep. Eutychus.
Why did he fall asleep?
He was tired.
Okay. What was the occasion?
There was a preaching service.
Preaching service. Who was the preacher?
Apostle Paul.
Was he a brief preacher or a long preacher?
Long-winded.
He first of all, before he fell off from the third loft, what time did Paul quit preaching at that point?
Midnight.
And so he fell off asleep, and then they picked him up and he revived. And then how long beyond that did Paul continue to preach?
Until
the sunrise, till the break of day. So preached till midnight. Fellow fell off, was dead, Eutychus, slept, and he raised him from the dead, kept on from midnight till the break of day. See, another 6 hours. So he was a long-winded preacher, but he had much to say. He told those people. And then in verse 23, verse 13, and now, by the way, there's verse 12, not a little comforted. What does that mean? Not a little comforted. Very comforted. When it says not a little, that means a lot, doesn't it? A lot. And then in verse 13, who's the we include? We went, Luke, because he's a writer of Acts, isn't he? So Luke was with him at this time. We went before to ship. What does that mean?
Get on a ship.
We went to the ship.
Well, we went to the ship. We're going to take ship. And where did they sail?
Assos.
To Assos. And now Troas is here, and Assos is right here. See, right here. Troas and Assos, very close. See, just like that. So they sail from here to here. That's the first thing. All right? They went to Assos, and what did they intend to do there? Or even before they went, in verse 13. What did they intend to do?
To pick up Paul.
Pick up Paul. Okay. Was Paul going to go with him on ship? In verse 13?
Yeah, originally he was on ship.
But what did he do? What does it mean?
They were going to pick him up.
What he had appointed. What was he going to do?
An appointment with him.
But what does it say? He was appointed to do what?
Mingling himself to go afoot. I don't understand.
Minding. So what does it mean to go afoot?
I'm short as you walk.
Foot by foot. You see, Troas, right here, Assos is here. They could sail around, or you could walk here to here. And that to there is about, maybe 50 miles, something like that. Or maybe 25 or 30. So he's going to walk if he could. Then in verse 14.
Show again because she just got it up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so here's Troas right here, and here's Assos right here. So it's a close distance, but they're going to sail around or else walk by foot. Okay? So that's verse number 13. In verse 14, when he met with us at Assos, who's the he, you think?
Paul.
Probably Paul met with us, and us included?
Luke.
All right. What did they do to Paul?
They took him in.
What does that mean?
He went on the ship.
They went on the ship, okay. And came where? Where did they go then?
To Mytilene.
Mytilene, I see. Here's Troas, Assos, Mytilene right here. Mytilene. See, it's right. So it took a ship to come there. Because that's an island. You had to go by ship. You can't walk, go by foot on that one. It's an island right there. All right, so I went to Assos, from Assos to Mytilene. And
I don't see Assos. Oh, yes, I do.
Here, that's verse 15. And then the next day we tarried at what? Arrived at what?
Chios.
Well, even before Chios, was it?
To Mytilene.
Well, before that even. Oh, excuse me, Chios. You got to forget the, I'm sorry. Chios. Chios, Troas, Assos. Chios is right here. It's another island, see, so you had to go by ship. It's an island for ship. Mm. This is Paul's journey to Chios.
Well, and you see the dotted line that shows us.
That shows the way he went, wasn't it? And then after that, the next day they went, they arrived at where? Verse 15. Samos, okay. So Samos, here's Miletus.
What's Chios?
Chios is here. Samos is here. See, that's another island. So from Chios to Samos.
There's a dotted line.
Wow, that's interesting.
He's traveling. All right, so the camel, Samos. And then tarried where?
At Trogyllium.
Trogyllium. Well, here's Trogyllium way down here, see? From Chios to Trogyllium. Well, that's quite a distance, a longer distance. There's Trogyllium right there. Another, I think it looks like an island as well. So Paul was...
Was Miletus an island?
Miletus
was a city on an island.
Miletus, let's see here. Yeah, Miletus, it's a city on an island, see?
Okay.
What's another name for Miletus?
I don't know. Are we supposed to know that one?
Well, remember, there was a viper that bought Paul, a bit Paul there in Miletus.
Mercury.
What's it called?
Malta.
It's called Malta. Miletus or Malta.
No, Malta is different.
This is different.
This is Mytilene.
Mytilene? Okay. You're sure it's not the same, huh? Well, where was Malta?
Malta is over...
It's in the Mediterranean Sea.
The Mediterranean Sea,
down south.
It's down
there. Miletus. Okay, you're right. That's Miletus. And this is?
Mytilene.
Very close. Yeah, okay. I stand corrected. Okay. So I went to Trogyllium and Miletus. And then let's read verse number 16, 17, and 18 together.
Well, then we came to Miletus after Trogyllium.
For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hastened if it were possible for him to be in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons. All right, so verse number 16, right? So Paul determined to go where after Trogyllium?
Ephesus.
And Ephesus is over here, close by, where is it? There he is, right here. So that's Ephesus. So he was at Trogyllium, wanted to go to Ephesus. He was backwater, apparently, a little bit. Chios, Trogyllium.
I guess you could go to Miletus, which is right south of the Ephesus on the coast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Miletus, right here, yeah. So he ought to go up here, back here to Ephesus, very close by. Did he sail, I wonder, or go by foot? What did he say? Sail. He determined to sail to Ephesus. Because why did he want to not spend too much time in Ephesus anymore?
He wanted to get to Jerusalem for Pentecost.
Wanted to get Jerusalem, not in Asia. Of course, what is Asia? Asia Minor, isn't it? Asia Minor, which is Turkey today. So he hasted. What does that mean? He hasted. He hurried, all right? He hurried, possible to get to Jerusalem. Day of Pentecost. What month of the year was the day of Pentecost?
It was this third month.
Third month, that's right. So he wanted to get to Jerusalem. That's a long ways over. So he waited a whole island.
He wanted to get back to Jerusalem?
Back to Jerusalem. Pentecost, that's one. How many times a year did the Jews go to Jerusalem?
Three times.
What months were they that they had to go to Jerusalem? What months were they?
First
month?
Third
month? And seventh month. How many feasts of Israel was every Jew had to go back to Jerusalem and celebrate? Three times a year, how many feasts?
Seven
feasts, that's right. So
they had to go back seven times a year?
Three times, because it's one, three, and seven, the 3 months. How many feasts in the first month?
Three.
How many feasts in the third month? One, that's the Pentecost. How many feasts in the seventh month?
Three.
So we got 3, 1, 3. See, seven times, but only three different times. Yes, Tammy?
In verse 6, it says it was after the days of unleavened bread. So I mean, about the first month here, and then he wanted to get to there, get where he was going.
Yes.
That was, you know, he traveled quite a bit.
Yeah, two more months. That's very good.
Yeah, so.
That's right. It was the first month there they had. All right, so after this, you want to spend time. Then in verse 17, from Miletus, where'd you go? Did we read 17, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We did talk about
we did. From Miletus, you went to Ephesus.
No, I guess he did. This is
another
one. Again, Miletus.
Another Miletus. Miletus went to
Ephesus again.
Ephesus again.
Oh, this is what he did.
Yeah, that's what he did. Okay, with the Ephesus. Now, and what happened at Ephesus? Verse 17 is very critical verse. What did he do in verse 17?
The church again at Ephesus.
What is an elder?
Pastor.
Okay, and we'll see a little bit later. They have three duties. What are the three duties of elders? What?
Bishop, eldest, son. Of
pastor.
Bishop,
elder. We're gonna see a little bit later when we go down to the other verses. But these were elders. These are. What is the Greek word for elder?
Episcopos. Or the presbyteros.
Presbyteros. And what do the Presbyterians call themselves?
Presbyterians.
From presbyteros. Why do they think they use that name?
Because they have elders.
They believe elders, they have elder rule, and so they don't go along as the Baptist, a different
is
church polity. Pardon me? In
are
Greek.
You from Presbyterians?
Yes.
Well, that's why they call themselves that, because they believe elder rule, and they're different from Baptists and others. Then in verse 18, we read 18. When they were come to him, who do they refer to? When they were come to him. Who's the they? The elders, that's when the elders would come to him. What did Paul say to them?
You know from the first day that I came to Asia after what manner I have been with you.
So they were witnesses of his being with them at Ephesus, all these different things, for a long time, wasn't it? All seasons he was with. How many months was he at Ephesus? Was it 18 months?
That was in Corinth.
In Corinth?
He was there 2 years.
2 years?
No,
maybe 3 years. A long time, though, wasn't he?
Someplace he was 2 years.
In Ephesus. And verse, let's read verse 19. We read, did we read 19? Not yet, no. Let's read 19, 20, and 21. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me with the lying weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you, have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Right there, it says serving the Lord. What does it mean to serve the Lord? Did Paul serve the Lord?
Yes.
Yes, he did. Is it easy or difficult always to serve the Lord? Is it easy or difficult?
Sometimes it's hard, sometimes it's
easy. Sometimes it's hard. Now, in Paul's day, did they like it? Like him to serve the Lord? All the people? Did the Jews like him serving the Lord Jesus Christ?
No.
The Jews hated him. They kicked him out of the city. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or email. Say hello or give us a question or comment or just simply say hello. Now, notice, how did Paul serve the Lord in verse 19? Before that,
humility
of mind. What does that mean?
Humbleness.
Humbleness? In other words, did Paul have a good mind or a bad mind? Did he have a keen mind or a dull mind?
Gamaliel.
What is it?
He sat at the feet of
Gamaliel. Sat at the feet of Gamaliel. And was his mind sharp or flat?
Sharp.
It was sharp. He was a sharp, trained Pharisee of the Pharisees. But how can a sharp, trained mind also be humble? Is it possible?
Yes.
And Paul did it, see? And now, when you brag about your humility, are you humble?
No, I don't think so.
Some people say, I'm humble and proud of it. So strange. Anyway, but Paul was not trying to boast himself, but he served the Lord with humility of mind. And what else? Not only humility of mind, but what else? in verse 19.
What's here?
Let's get this call here for you, then we'll go ahead. Yes, Jacob from Texas. Jacob, go right ahead.
No, this is Dale.
Oh, Dale, Jacob's mother. Dale, yes. Okay, Dale, go right ahead, yes. Dale.
And I just wanted to tell you that we're enjoying the service a lot. It's wonderful. And also to tell you that my sister is here listening with us.
Good. Praise the Lord. Where is she from, Dale? Where is your sister from?
She's from Victoria. She's here from the same town I am.
Oh, good.
There's only two of us left, and we spend a little as much time as we can together.
What is your sister's name, Dale?
Esther.
Esther. Well, thank you. You greet it. You say hello to Esther for us. Let's wave to Dale and Jacob. We're way over in Texas. Wave
Esther
to her.
Esther, too.
Oh, was there sister, too? Esther, too. Absolutely. Well, I'm glad that you're there. I'm glad that you understand that you're with us. All right, so serving the Lord with humility in mind. What else did Paul say he served the Lord with?
Many tears.
What does that mean?
Sometimes the Lord makes you cry.
It was sorrowful sometimes.
Sorrowful and humble and sometimes. Why do people cry? What are some of the reasons for crying?
There's heartache.
Heartache?
Death.
Maybe distress for others.
Distress for others? Maybe because people are lost and unsaved and they're crying, they're emotionally, like their mothers or close relatives. But many tears, not simply a little bit. And what else? What's the other way he served the Lord?
Temptations.
What is a temptation? What's that mean?
Testing.
What does it mean to have a test? Testing like that. What does that mean? Are there different types of tests or all the same?
All sorts
of tests. Testing and testing. Now, once somebody's tested, what are the results when someone's tested?
Either pass or fail.
Either you find good about it or bad. So, but he had many temptations. Which befell me. What's befell mean? Befell.
Came upon him.
By the lying in wait of the Jews. What does that mean?
Jews didn't want him to preach at all.
They didn't want lying in wait. What were they doing for lying in wait?
Following him around.
Following him around, ready to kill him. They didn't like him.
Waiting for him to make a mistake.
That's right. Then in verse 20, what was the message that he had? And what is the message they didn't have? What was his message here?
Everything he preached was practical to them.
And he kept back nothing. What does that mean?
He didn't hold anything back.
Nothing that was profitable to him. Nothing that was profitable to him unto you. But I've showed you. How does somebody show somebody something?
By their life.
Pardon me?
By their life.
Could be by their life. Could be by their teaching, by their words. But they say,
even sometimes right from the Word of God itself.
The Word of God.
Show them the Bible, so this is where it says it. I mean, they didn't have a...
Now, does some preachers keep back things that are profitable for people?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, well, they keep back. Sometimes they do.
Some things are very difficult to teach.
Yes, so but Paul didn't keep back anything that was profitable. Yes, Tammy.
Sometimes they're afraid to say something that might offend someone that comes to the church.
Yes.
Maybe the person has a lot of money and they don't want them to leave.
Yes, that's true. Profitable, showed you. And what else is he that I already showed you, but what? In verse 20. To Anna.
No, sorry, I was testing it to see, never mind.
See if I was looking at you?
No, I was trying to figure out where the reflection was coming from.
Oh, okay. What's another thing you did? Not only showed them, but what?
Taught you.
How do you do that? Taught you how much? Privately? Taught them privately? Publicly. All right, publicly. How would you define taught or teaching?
Instruction.
I remember Howie Hendricks. We don't agree with a lot of what Hendricks said, but remember, he used to always use these expressions from Dallas Seminary, one of our former friends that we knew there. He's with the Lord now.
I just heard from his wife.
Heard from his wife. Telling is not teaching. Telling is not teaching, essentially. Then he said the second thing. Listening is not learning. Listening is not learning. He had one more thing. I can't remember what it was. Something. About inspiration, whatever. But anyway, these are things. He taught them. How do you go about teaching people things?
Well,
Showing them, that's right. We have some step by step. We have two people in our room in our church tonight that either presently or formerly were homeschool teachers. Homeschool had their children with homeschool. Amber was still a teacher, homeschool. We have a couple homeschool people right here named Jake and Jackson, right? And so your mom teaches you, right? And now the question I have is, are you learning some things? Oh, good, I'm glad you are. Jackson, are you learning some things?
Yes.
Good. And Tammy taught her daughter Anna. Anna, did mom teach you some things?
Yeah, I would say so.
Did you learn from her teaching?
Yeah.
Okay, so he taught them publicly. Now, notice the last part of verse 20. What does that mean, from house to house? What does that indicate?
Didn't skip anything.
Well, all right, that's true. What else? Questions at bfdbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Pastor Dan.
So then you did public teaching, but then you did private teaching.
Okay.
It seems like.
Now, what does it indicate? Did you just go to a house and open the door and nobody there? What does that indicate? What was happening in those houses?
The houses accepted them.
Okay, but what was happening? Who was that in those houses?
Christians.
Believers. Did they have a sort of a house church, possibly?
Well, certain houses.
Certain houses. He taught them from house to house. In those days, did they have huge, huge, big church buildings like we have across the street here, the Lutheran Church?
No.
The Methodist Church, did they have huge buildings for the Christians? No, they didn't. And a lot of times they just met in house to house. And so he taught them publicly and privately. What's that, Dan?
Can I add something?
Sure.
In Philemon, I think it says that. I have to locate it. Or it's, I think.
Philemon chapter 1.
Verse 2 and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house.
Church in thy house. And so we have a church in our house here. So this is not unusual. And they taught from church to church, house to house as well. Yes,
I think that baby thought it was very unusual. That little baby, he's, 4 months, 5 months old, that was here today. Our little Charlie, wait. His grandma, somebody brought him in here, and he looked around, and he had a very different look on his face when he's looking around.
Really?
I think he was half scared and half surprised. He didn't know what was happening.
Didn't know what was in this place.
Maybe it was all the electronic equipment.
Something in here. He wasn't scared, but he didn't understand. You could tell just by looking at the expression.
Uh-huh. See, Jake, that's going out. Just as it up is on the video. See, that's what's going out. There's Jake himself. That's going out all over the world. See, who wants to watch it? All right. So from house to house. And you say, the church of thy house. That's right, in Philemon chapter 1. And then in verse, did we read, that we read 21, did we? I think we did. Now, testifying, what does testifying mean?
Giving witness.
What is it?
Giving witness.
Giving witness, that's right. Who did he witness to? What kind of people?
Jews.
And?
Gentiles
or Greeks. That's right, the Gentiles or Greeks. So he didn't stop. When the Lord Jesus called him on his road to Damascus as he was ready to imprison Christians, where did the Lord Jesus Christ send Paul?
To the Gentiles.
To the Gentiles. And where did he particularly send the Apostle Peter?
To the Jews.
To the Jews. Now, Paul started with the Jews. What happened when he preached and ministered to the Jews? What happened?
They rejected him.
They rejected him. In fact, he said at one point, I turned to the Gentiles. And so here he preached to both of them. If they'd listen, he preached to both of them, Jews and Gentiles. What are the two things that he testified concerning? What two doctrines in verse 21?
Repentance and faith.
Repentance and faith. Faith, what kind of faith? Toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How does repentance mean?
Change
of mind. From what Greek word?
Metanoia.
Meta means?
Change.
Change of noia from nous means?
Mind.
Change of mind. What kind of change of mind are required before somebody can be saved.
Concerning sin?
Concerning sin. They got to realize that it's changing my, I'm a sinner. What's the second thing?
About the Savior.
But what is it?
About the Savior.
About the Savior, that he can save it. He died for our sins. And then they must trust him, accept him. So faith, confidence, showing the repentance and toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. How is a person saved today?
Same way.
Genuine faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him, realizing they're sinners, that Christ died for their sins. Finally, let's read verse 22, 23, and 24 together. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. All right, verse 22. Where's Paul going to go now?
Jerusalem.
What does it mean I'm bound? What's that mean?
He couldn't help it.
What is it?
He felt compelled.
Convicted? Well, compelled, right? Compelled, desirous, strongly. He wanted to go there, didn't he? Bound and determined to go where? To Jerusalem. Now, where was he at this point? What city?
Ephesus.
Ephesus, right, here's Ephesus.
Macedonia.
You know, it's Jerusalem, way over there. It's a long ways away, isn't it? Long ways away. He's bound and determined. He wanted to go there for the day of Pentecost, the third month. So that was his desire. But notice in verse 22, was he assured what's going to happen to him at Jerusalem? Does he know what's going to happen to him at Jerusalem in verse 22?
No.
No, not knowing the things that befall me there. But verse 23, what did he know? At least what did people tell him? What did the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit witness in every city to him?
There will be bonds.
Bonds and afflictions abide me. What's abide me?
Prison.
What does abide mean?
With him,
surround him. Now, if somebody, if the Holy Spirit actually told him through other people that in every city, everywhere he went, they said, don't go to Jerusalem. If everyone told you it was probably the Holy Spirit's witness to them, would everybody go to that city? No, if bonds and afflictions, probably stay away. But in verse 24, I think we read that, what was Paul's reaction to the warning? The bonds and afflictions to the Bible. What are bonds?
Imprisonment.
Did Paul finally get into prison?
Yes.
Yes, he did. And afflictions? Did he have afflictions?
Yes.
And afflictions. What was his attitude toward this warning in verse 24?
Unchanged.
None of these things move me. What does that mean, move me?
Make him change his mind.
I'm not going to be moved or change my mind. Then what else did he say about his life? What did he say about his life?
I lost my place.
Not important.
Not important. Don't count it dear to me. Now, if you don't count your life dear to you, what does that indicate?
Something higher purpose.
Now, we may, those of us who are still living in this age in which we live, it's entirely possible, since we believe the Bible, that the government will come and take us to either FEMA camps or some other place way over other countries because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're against the homosexuals. We believe homosexual, I should say against homosexuality, we're not against homosexual, but we believe homosexuality is a sin and we preach the gospel of Christ. But we may have to be in Paul's shape. I do not count my life dear unto myself. Why? Why didn't he count his life dear unto himself in verse 24? What was his goal?
Finish his course.
How?
With joy.
What does that mean, to finish his course?
What the Lord's will was for
okay.
His job.
What do we know about courses, different courses?
Some are hard and some are easy.
Yes, and what courses? Not the school courses necessarily,
like
what
race
other?
Track.
Racetrack courses, horse races, different track, athletic events, you know,
running on a track.
Running on a track.
when you get close to the end, you sometimes get more tired.
That's right.
I'm now, finishing my course for the day. I can't stand it.
Okay.
Now,
well, we got about 6 more minutes before 9, huh? Oh. Give us 6 more minutes. Jake is just ran to go. Just joking. Anyway.
Children are very good.
Yes, they're very good.
He's a little boy.
Now, what does it mean just to finish his course and not to finish his course? What does that mean?
See, this is what it says.
Anna?
If you're running a marathon, there are, like, you know, you have first place, second place, third place, and then mm-hmm. you have something called finishers.
All right.
Finishers, they cross the finish line. They might be 100 out of 100,
mm-hmm.
but they cross the finish line, as opposed to someone who just gives up cool. and decides not to complete.
What do we call those that give up?
Quitters.
Quitters, that's right. Pastor Dan got something.
Pastor, saying our warm greetings to you and all BFT Church family. We give thanks to God for each and every one of you. Thank you for tonight's Bible study, the Book of Acts, and his love, Carl and Vicki.
Let's wave to Carl and Vicki Albert, way up in the state of Maine, way in the state of Maine. Thank you, Carl and Vicki. Appreciate that.
It's worthwhile doing it when people are listening.
Finish my course. How?
With joy.
Now, even if there's pain, can joy be in the midst of pain?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. A mother bearing children, I've never been a mother, but I understand that when the baby is born, they're joyous. I mean, it's painful, it's hard. Finish the course with joy. And what else did you want to finish with joy? And what else? Not just course only, but what else?
Ministry.
Where did you receive this ministry? Who gave him that ministry?
The Lord Jesus.
What was the ministry? Testify what?
The gospel
of the grace of God. He wanted to finish his course, he wanted to be joyous about it, and do what God wanted to do. And then let's read verse 25, 26, and 27 together. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. All right, verse 25. Among whom I've gone preaching the kingdom of God. These people, what city was he in now? What city?
Jerusalem.
No. What is the city?
Ephesus.
Okay. So he was there. I don't forget, I don't remember how many, was it 3 years or 2 years, whatever. A long time. He's preaching the kingdom of God. What does he say about himself?
They no longer going to see his face.
That's the last time.
That one Pharaoh no longer see my face.
Yes. Now, none of us know when we're going to see our fellow's faces again. We don't know when we could die in an accident or whatever, but Paul knew that once he got there, it's the end of the line. See, the Lord told him, but he still went because he wanted to finish his course with joy and what God had given to him. All right, let me see what I got here. Hey, Rob Winograd from Chicago. Hey, Rob, go ahead.
Hi, Pastor, and hello to the Grand Lakes.
The Grand Lakes.
To everyone there and on the internet, Thanksgiving full of joy.
Amen.
And I just want to say, verse 25 there, the hyper-dispensationists say Paul, they relegate the kingdom of God just to Jesus, but Paul that is there preaching the kingdom of God too.
Amen. That's right. That's good, Rob.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Wave to Rob in Chicago. Chicago, you're going to wave to Rob.
How's the snow, Rob?
Rob Winograd, Chicago. Okay.
The snow.
I'm sure the snow is. He told me the other day that he had to shovel the snow. It took him, it was about 12 inches deep. It took him about 2 hours to shovel the driveway and so on. Yeah. So it's a lot of snow up there in Chicago.
It's melted.
Was it?
Maybe it's melted by now.
Oh, maybe it's melted by now. Who knows? Finish his course with joy. The testimony of the grace of God. And then we read 25, among whom have all gone preaching, you should see my face no more. So he knew he was never coming back. Let's read verse, did we read 26? Yeah, we did read 26, didn't we?
Yes.
What does this mean? I'm pure from the blood of all men. What does that mean? Pure from the blood of all men.
If they die without Christ, it's not his fault.
All right, that's one thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
He's taught the truth, and he's not holding back anything. And then in verse 27, what is true? What has he not done?
That shunned.
What does shunned mean?
Avoided.
I've not shunned. To declare what?
All the counsel of God.
What does it mean to declare?
Talk about it.
Talk about it. Where is all the counsel of God found?
In the Word of God.
The Word of God, the Scriptures. So Paul, did he believe in telling people about the Scriptures?
Mm-hmm.
He sure did. He knew all about the Old Testament, and he preached Christ from the Old Testament, a lot of things concerning the Lord. And then, did we stop at 27, did we? Mm-hmm. We didn't read 28 yet, did we?
No. Not
yet. Let's read 28, 29, and 30 together. Okay. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourself, to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer. What is an overseer?
Well, he's talking to the preachers here.
It's a bishop.
The bishop. And what does it say in verse 17? Who are they? Who's he speaking to here in verse 17?
Elders.
The elders at Ephesus. So here the elders
wonder how many churches
are also overseers or bishops. You got something back in there?
I'm just having trouble with the camera.
Okay. Over which the Holy Ghost of the major order. What are they to do, these elders and bishops, in verse 28? What are they to do?
Church.
Feed the church. What is the Greek word for feed?
Poimenos.
Poimenos, poime. To feed. Shepherd. Pastor. That's the word for pastor. So you see, that's why we in our church, we the scriptures are very clear that pastors are also bishops, are also elders. Pastor, bishop, elder. All three. One and the same, different tasks, but God has given us the privilege to do all those three things. This is proof of it. The elders, because take the oversight, that's the oversight, which is the episcopal or bishops, and then feed, that's the pastors. Now, what does it say about the church of God? Who's the church of God? What's that refer to? Is that only man up there in Connecticut's church? Dr. Tom Strauss? What is the church of God? Is that every church in the whole world?
Believers.
That's right. Saved people. The church of God. Saved people. The church of God. What is true of the church of God in verse 28?
They're purchased with the blood of Christ.
All right. And that word he refers to what?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Lord Jesus Christ. God the Son is purchased with his own blood. Purchase means what?
Bought.
Bought. Out of the slave market of sin. How is he purchased?
With his blood.
Now, what is, we talked a little bit with Pastor Dick a little bit today about John MacArthur's view. What is Dr. MacArthur's view about the blood of Christ?
It just means death.
It means death. See, Thanatos, death. And blood, Hymen.
Yeah, that's right.
What's that, Anna?
Oh, I guess I'm being called on to remind people about how the scripture says the life of the flesh is in the blood. But if you take blood as a metonym for death, then you have the life of the flesh is in the death, which doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. Very good. From Leviticus. That's right. So anyway, but he's purchased with his own blood. In other words, he shed his blood in his death, but God says the blood of Christ purchased. There's 14 different things it talks about the blood of Christ. We've written a little tract on it, different part of the books and different things. 14 different things. God says the blood of Christ does, redeems, forgives, all these things. And so we can't just change it into death. He did shed his blood in his death, but it's the blood of Christ that God holds up. What about the Exodus lamb in Exodus 12 and so on? What was true in the first Exodus express? What did God say to do?
The blood was shed and put on the doorposts.
Okay.
And lent.
So the blood was shed, that's the death of the lamb. And the blood was applied, wasn't it? Top, side, points, and top. And so they're separate. And so it's interesting. But he's purchased with his own blood. Now, we read 29. What did Paul know in this verse? What did he know for sure?
Grievous wolves.
After my departure, after I leave, sure. Grievous wolves shall enter among you. What is a grievous wolf?
False prophet.
False prophet, all right. Now, sometimes the Lord Jesus says they are as wolves in sheep's clothing. What does that mean? Wolves in sheep's clothing.
They appear to be
sheep, but inside they're wolves. Grievous. What does grievous mean?
Sore.
Very sore, and very serious, and very bad. Enter among you. What do you mean, among you?
Church.
And the church that's there, the believer. What does it mean, not sparing the flock? Who's the flock?
Church.
The church, the believers, the flock, part of the sheep in the flock. Not sparing, meaning what? Not sparing.
Not holding back.
Not holding back, and they go after them. These wolves hate the sheep, and they hate the flock, and they go after them. Then in verse 30, what else is true that Paul's warning the pastors, bishops, elders about? What does it mean, of your own selves? What does that mean? Of your own selves.
Church.
Right in your own church. Pastor Dick mentioned it tonight. He said at his own church where the pastor he goes to now, his father, church of people was raised up, and even his own church has raised up a person that was for MacArthur and for hyper-Calvinism. And so the whole church was split and had to give a lot of people away because there's a split of their own selves. They rise up and split the church. So it's but the own self, your own selves that shall rise. Who's going to rise of their own self? What kind of people are those?
Men speaking perverse things.
Speaking perverse things. Now, in other words, you have enemies not only from without the church, but right within. And so it's so important that we keep things fresh and clean. Yeah, Tammy?
2 Peter 2, verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring in upon themselves sort of destruction. So Paul was telling that to Timothy.
Very important. That's good from Timothy. What's the verse on that, 2 Timothy?
I'm sorry. This is actually Peter. I'm sorry.
Okay.
For some reason, I was thinking Timothy.
Okay, that's good. Peter. All right. Now notice, the rise of their own self, speaking first things, what do they do? What is the end result in verse 30 of these within heretics, false teachers from within the church? What do they want to do? Draw away disciples after them.
Follow them.
Follow me, see? And so when there's a big church split a lot of times, people go and follow this person that's a false teacher from within and leave the church.
Amen.
So it's sad, isn't it? Perverse things to draw disciples after them. I will stop here at verse 30. Well, I want to be sure to get verse 17, the elders at Ephesus, and verse 28, he calls them not only elders but overseers or bishops to feed, that is, appointment us to shepherd their pastor, bishop, and elder. Their pastors as well to feed the church of God. But do you ever have any comments or questions before we close? Yvonne?
I do have a prayer request I forgot.
Okay.
Your sister Dottie, I found out today, fell down and broke some bones. I don't know anything about how many bones or what. She was in the hospital and she's in a nursing home now doing rehabilitation. That's all I know.
Okay, well.
Pray for her. She's 90 years old.
She's 90 years old. My sister, Dorothy Benedict. Dorothy Waite Benedict. All right, let's close in. For Pastor Danny, want to pray for your Aunt Dottie and close in prayer, if you would, please.
Well, Father, thank you for the Bible study. We do thank you that we do have the scripture. We do ask to help Aunt Dottie be able to recover from this fall and these broken bones. Allow her to be able to be released from this nursing home quickly. So she can be able to get back to her own apartment. We do ask that thou would allow her to be able to understand what the Word of God says about salvation, mm-hmm. about deliverance. We do ask thou would allow us to continue to be thankful for what thou hast done for us on the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.